Hi, church. Hi. Can you hear me okay? Because we were just trying out a new microphone for me. My good brother Chandra has heard me preach at LGCC, and quite often they will ask me to wear this headset because a lot of their people don't know how to use a microphone and they have all sorts of issues there. But Chandra also serves at LGCC as well, all right? Yeah, it's like a secondment. He's not cheating on us. It's more like a secondment, all right? They even asked me for permission at one point. But he's a really good, faithful brother, and he said, look, would you like to use this? And I said, I do like using it because I get to do this with my hands, right? So, yeah, I'm a bit of a fidgeter. So if I start waving my hands around, you'll know why. It's just me enjoying the freedom of not having to hold a microphone. All right, church, today I wanted to preach about Palm Sunday, and the first point I wanted to make to you guys is it's the start of Holy Week. Now, do you guys know what Holy Week is? Ask your neighbor. Okay, people are saying yes, but I don't reckon you do. Do you know what it's about? Well, let's have a little brief chat about it. Palm Sunday is this day that really kicks off that last week of Jesus' life, okay? So when he came into Jerusalem after he had been doing all his ministry out of town, he's now going to the Super Bowl. He's going to Jerusalem. And when he arrives there, he is greeted in a really awesome way where people are cheering, people are happy, people are joyful, okay? But during this week, he's about to endure the hardest part of his life, okay? And so there are episodes in the Gospels that will talk about what happens, about how he gets really confronted by the Pharisees, the people of the law, who were greatly offended by Jesus' presence and his teachings and his claims. And he was confronted by people, and he was ultimately betrayed, and then he's ultimately leads to his last days on earth where he goes to the cross, okay? So with Good Friday coming up this Friday and Resurrection Sunday 3 days later, this is the beginning of Holy Week. But there's a tension. There's a tension of a great enthusiasm of God is coming. God is here. But we know what happens. God also dies. God also leaves as well. So there's a tension of joy, but there's also a tension of sadness as well. Okay? So today, what I want you guys to know is three things. Firstly, God wants to rearrange our lives. And secondly, we don't like it when God wants to rearrange our lives. And thirdly, but God is still going to rearrange our lives. Okay, you got it? All right. So I'm going to start off with Mark chapter 11, verse 4. Thanks, Lat. And I'm just going to set the scene for what's happening here. We've got the story of how Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And it's Mark says this. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches, palm leaves, that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Right? I can tell you right now that just now when we were worshiping, that the Spirit of the Lord just went through, and there was this moment when Michelle was singing and leading us in that moment where we felt like we were just praising our Jesus, praising our God. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus has come. He has come to rescue. He has come to save. And here we are invited into his great kingdom. We have a place in his kingdom. And the touching point for me was how unworthy I am to be in this kingdom. So there's this tension of joy, I'm in the kingdom. But there's also the other side of it, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve it. And yet, he somehow did something to make us worthy to be there. So these people were claiming, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Up to now, Jesus has been teaching on the down low. He's been keeping things a bit quiet, and things are getting exposed. And people are becoming more aware that this guy is not just the man who came from Nazareth. He's not just that boy who knows scripture. He's not just the boy who knows how to preach really well and knows how he's really good with his words. This is a guy who's actually claiming to be something more than no one else has claimed for 600 years. He is now claiming, and the people are recognizing him as the son of David. He's in the kingly line of King David. The king is here. Amen? The king is here, and the people are recognizing that this is the moment once prophesied, after we had waited for so many years of not hearing from God, God has finally made himself present through this man, Jesus. And they're saying, Hosanna in the highest heaven. The one great thing about kings is that you would go to a king and you would plead your case and the king would make a judgment. Okay, My kids have lately said to me, you're not the boss of me. It's another way of saying, you're not the king of me. I try to be the boss of them, and ultimately I sound a very, very bossy. But ultimately they're saying, Jesus, you're our king. And when you say that, you accept that this man is allowed to make a judgment over your life. You come into his kingdom and you accept that I'm under his rule. Pretty cool, right? This might sound very foreign because we don't really like it. So like I said, God wants to come and rearrange our life, but we don't like it. We don't like it. But he's going to do it anyway. In this case, Jesus was coming. So quite often we'll talk about Palm Sunday as that day that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem on a donkey in an unexpected way. The people expected him to be like King David, a king of rule, a king of conquest. Yet Jesus comes as a man of peace, a king of peace, arriving onto a donkey, on a donkey into Jerusalem. A few months ago, I had this really cool chat with Melina, and we were on the couch, and we were having a chat about the gram. Okay, who knows what the gram is? All right, I really thought that there'd be more people. Instagram. Who knows Instagram? Okay, yep. There's a lot of people on this side of the room who know Instagram. We're having a chat, and we're having a conversation about what's on your Instagram. What do you see? Okay? And for Melina, it was cleaning products. It was kitchen items. And that's why we're having a conversation. She was telling me about a cool product that she had seen and said, don't you see this on your Instagram? And that's when I had to confess, no. Do you want to see what's on my Instagram, Melina? And I showed it to her. So I got out my phone, and what did I show her? Power Rangers. Ninja Turtles, Dragon Ball Z, right? So on her Instagram, Instagram's worked out that she is the responsible one in the family and they need to go through her to eventually get us to buy their products. They've worked that out quite well. But for me, mine's coming up with basically kid stuff, right? And I thank Jonah for this. He's largely had an influence over mine. But as we're talking about Instagram, which is a good tool, it's good for me to escape in. It's a good thing for me to just let my hair down and just find out what the world's up to, and it gives me access to the world. But I told her that the reason why I don't use it much, okay, and the reason why I think it's just coming up with Power Rangers and Dragon Ball Z and Transformers, all that stuff, is because I only use it when I'm looking up stuff for Jonah. And one of the reasons why I don't really like using it is because occasionally I will see a half-naked girl on there. And that's the honest truth. When I scroll through, I'll look through it and I'll see yellow Power Ranger, red Power Ranger, blue Power Ranger. Then I'll see chick in a bikini. Some of you might be looking at me and going, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a good thing? Well, that's not good for me, is it? And I brought this up because if Instagram is this really cool place, if it is a place that's good for certain things, well, this is an example of how Instagram can actually go the wrong way. And so somehow in this algorithm, it's worked out that my demographic, my particular age, my particular person, likes seeing this come about. And I have no choice in the matter. It's just in my face. It's perverted. This is why I'm bringing this up. Because at the start of Palm Sunday in Mark's Gospel, I want to go through with you guys what happens the next day. Okay? So we're going to go to verse 12 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Thanks, Lat. And it says this: the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. So this is the episode when Jesus goes into Jerusalem. He's arrived in Jerusalem, and it's the episode where he goes straight to the temple. It's one of the first things that he does. And he sees that the temple's being perverted. Things aren't the way it should be in his father's house. So he goes rampant. This is one of the rare examples of Jesus showing his anger in this, where he overturns the tables and kicks them out. Why? Why might you say that, like, is he doing all of this? Have you ever imagined, have you ever seen like the Perth night markets, the hawker centres, the hawker markets, where they put up their gazebos and they sell food? Imagine that happening, but imagine that happening here at church, when God would want us to be praising him, to be speaking truths about Jesus, to be raising our hands, to be praying for one another, to be praying for the nations. But imagine that we're not doing that. That's what's happening in this context in Jesus' time. The temple was a place where people should be able to come. The temple was a place that people were able to come to talk to God, to relate to him, to converse with him, to pray with him. But it's also a place where people would actually seek to be cleansed. Okay, so in the olden days, the idea of cleansing comes about because when we sin, we're dirty. It's the thing that God doesn't like. We're tainted by sin. But when we go to the temple, when we come to God, we would be cleansed. That would be our opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry, I've done all these sins, accept what I have to give you. And a priestly man would say, you are forgiven, and go about in your business after he takes your gift. Does that make sense? So it's a very holy place. And the holiest place of this temple is right in the center of it, or the middle of it. It's the place that you've actually got to cross a few barriers to eventually make your way into it. And that holiest place is where God would actually be present. So it's the thing of, if you think of God in his goodness, in his glory, he can't take the sin. He's unblemished. He's perfect. Whole, he's well. And so for you to come very close to God, well, you got to be very, very clean. And so the purpose of this place is for people to be able to come to God. And yet, it wasn't being done like this. I've got a quote from a very intelligent man out there. And he says this, So this is from a well-respected researcher who researches the historical temple, and he says, a single merchant out in the temple courts once offered 3,000 sheep for sale in one day. This very scale has led some commentators to suggest that Jesus performed only a token cleansing in one particular area of the temple. This wasn't a place of holiness anymore. This was a place of market. And I don't know about you, but when you're actually in the market, you've got to actually barter with one another. And the point is that when they were bartering with one another, you need to give up part of yourself. There is a piece of you that will have to go to the dark side. You can't do this honestly in this marketplace. But these people thought that it was okay. The thing about Jesus arriving as our king is that he is also our judge. And when he comes into that place, he's making that statement of, this is not okay in my Father's house. This is not okay. So likewise, when I go back to my Instagram, when I see the half-naked girls on my Instagram needs a cleansing, doesn't it? I still haven't quite worked out how to do that. I've heard of that you need to clean the cache or something or retrain it in some way. So I'm trying to think of, if I was Jesus, how would I do it? Well, perhaps I've just got to throw the whole thing out. Perhaps I've actually got to delete the whole thing. Perhaps I've got to find another way to actually find out about our community's lives and get to know them better through another means. I can think of other ways that I could do this. Next slide, thanks, Lat. In Isaiah 56, verse 6, Jesus was actually quoting this quote, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." This comes from Isaiah 56, verse 6. It says this, "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer." This is what the temple should have been for other people, for foreigners to come to know the Lord. Yet what's stopping them is a marketplace. Verse 7, "These burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. So, it's a good thing that Jesus came to tear up the tables, to overturn how things were. It's a good thing that he judged Israel like this, because what he is going to do in his week ahead is make a way for us foreigners to be able to come into his temple. Can I hear an amen? The foreigners are us. We're those Gentiles. We're those people that aren't deserved, like that we don't deserve to have a good God like this. Yet Jesus is judging his own people, the people that God loves first and foremost, in order to open the door for us to come into his house. What a wonderful Lord and Savior we have. These days, the temple's no more. What happens is Jesus prophesies that the destruction of the temple and Israel will come. And indeed it comes after he leaves, after he ascends to heaven. In 70 AD, it's well documented that Rome sent in people to overtake Jerusalem. And that's when a siege happens. It's called the Siege of Jerusalem. And sadly, that's when the city is destroyed. They get wiped out. Ironically, it's around the time that the gospel message has actually left Israel. So Israel is no longer about a place. It's no longer about land. The judgments come. Instead, the idea of Israel changes to become a spiritual place. You following me? Now, there's somewhere in the Bible that talks about this place that God chooses to dwell in as being our bodies. Do you guys know that passage? Yeah, so I'm going to bring that up as the next slide. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, I've called this my body, his temple. Paul says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price." That's the life of Jesus. "Therefore, honor God with your bodies, i.e., be a house of prayer. Live out the righteousness that is given in you. Live in a holy way. Live out the fruits of the Spirit that is given you. This is the new life that God has given us. My body, his temple." So when the destruction of Israel as a place, God is no longer dwelling in this temple. God chooses to dwell in you. Say to your neighbor, in you. This is really important stuff. I was quite touched the other day because I went to this thing called Child Safe Training. And this is basically legislation that's been in place that Australia's determined is actually good for our children because of the number of children who have been abused over so many years. And so it's a movement and it's law to actually help that change the position of our country. And what touched me was how invasive adult things are to children. And it comes through something that I value really a lot in my life, that God is calling me to actually reconsider, because God wants to rearrange my life. And that's the mobile phone. Because the way that adult things that children should never be exposed to is entering through the front door of the house, it's no longer the front door. It's the mobile phone. It's the computer, it's the device that has access to the internet and to the world and to all sorts of things that we don't even know who's on the other end. When I was younger, the internet finally came to Australia. And so I still remember, you know, the 26-bit dun, 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 when you connect to the internet. I say to my children that that's the sound of the internet. And they said, what? The internet's got a sound? I said, that is the sound of the internet, because you dial this number and it goes dun, 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 dun. But I was approximately 11 or 12 years old when I first got exposed to this thing called the internet, and it was the coolest thing around. I felt like a spy. I felt like I was coding something. I thought it was awesome. And I also thought that it was really cool because my parents had no idea what I was doing. And that sounds funny, because it's a cool thing to evade your parents who know or think they know everything about you and what's going on in your life. It's quite a sense of achievement. I'm patting myself on the back to evade those kind of parents. But unfortunately, this is the beginning of the internet era, okay, where it's hit the mainstream. And what it exposed me to was anything I wanted to find. Okay? And so if you understand a little bit about me, this is what I want you to know. When I was in year three, I enjoyed school. Okay? I enjoyed school because there were boys and there were girls, and I had the best time. But in year four, those girls disappeared. Yeah, that's right, auntie. You see where I'm going. My parents pulled me out of that school and put me into a private school. Sounds good, right? Good education. Gonna make it to the big times, maybe become that doctor or lawyer that we had hoped for. But where are all the girls? And so at that age, it had been about 3 or 4 years that I was starved of the girls. So what do you think is the first thing I went looking for on the internet when I got access to it? Girls, thank you, auntie. You understand me, right? You can relate to me, right? I used to love public school. Then one day, I hate school. Why? I wonder why, right? Where did all the girls go? But when you start looking on the internet for girls, even when the internet had just come out, what do you think I found? Old ladies. Definitely older ladies, auntie again. You've got it right. All the aunties are understanding me today. Yes, old ladies, but specifically without clothes. I should have called this sermon, "Where Did All the Clothes Go?" Yeah. This was normal to me. This is how I grew up in this world where you get access to this. And it's really deeply concerning that these days you aren't allocated like 1 hour of the night in a study to use the one computer of the family, where your parents know that's where you are, so you've got to do your dirty business before anyone else finds out and the time runs out. But these days, you're given a device and you take that device and you go into your private place of the house, that quiet place. It could be a bedroom, it could be a bathroom, it could be the shower room. But that's where the device is. But things happen there. At some point, it hits you that this isn't the way that God wants you to be. And so I did grow up through the teens of being exposed to naked women, being exposed to pornography, just like the other something like 60% of children under 12 years old today experience. Okay? And I can tell you, it only takes, this is part of my research, it only takes a couple of clicks through my Instagram to eventually find those things that I was exposed to. It's not going to take much for my younger 9-year-old, 6-year-old to find their way into that landscape. God wants to rearrange our lives. And so I'm thankful that over the years, after all of that, whilst I just thought that that was the norm, I'm grateful that God actually worked in my life to change me, to turn away from that kind of visual. And the way he did it was to show me something of value, which I think is really relevant to Palm Sunday today. Because the King has come. But he didn't just come for anyone. He came for you. He came to give up everything for you. And so coming to church, hearing that message of this God who would give up his life for my sake, tells me that I'm highly valued, that I'm worth more than just a simple pleasure. I'm worth more than what I look like and what I think someone would make me feel like. And so my response now, or from then on, is that I acknowledge that I have this King. I acknowledge that he can have that rule over my life. I have one King, one Lord, one Judge over my life, and he has absolutely every right to be that guy. And thankfully, by his grace, I have one earthly person in my life, Melina, who can give me a glimpse of that love that I can't get from a picture or a video. Do you get it? And we need to understand that that's what he wants to do in our life. He wants to rule over our life. And he has his way of doing things. But there's a challenge, as we're going to see in the next verse. The challenge is, we don't like that. We don't like to be judged. We don't like to change. And we're going to see that in the Pharisees. In verse 18, in that same story that we've been reading, these Pharisees, these actually godly people, this is the way they react. They say, the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this. They saw that Jesus was rearranging the house. They heard him teach about it, and they said, they heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Church, we don't want to be like the Pharisees, right? This is the week to check yourself, because God wants to check you. He wants to look at you, and he wants you to see what he's seeing in your life that needs to be rearranged. In the biblical world, they use the word cleansing. Now, we know that when Jesus cleanses people, it's a good thing, right? So my question to you is, why wouldn't you want that to happen? We want the cleansing to happen. But that cleansing means we're going to see things how he sees it in our life, and those things that we're not going to be happy about. And we're going to react. We're going to outburst, we're going to respond. But church, would you be a people for one another to help us respond the right way? To give him the response that he deserves. If we can say that we are that valued and that he did that all for us, can we not say, God, we're going to give that to you? And so you would have heard me preach over it previously of those messages of give God your mess. Today the message is give God your house. Give him your life again. Let him rule over your life. And even though we don't like people telling us what to do, how to be, who we are, how to live, let him be that judge over your life. And so finally, we see in Mark 11, I'm just going to fast forward to verse 24 to just talk about what Jesus does. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." You can see here that when Jesus is going to his death and he's going to die, you can imagine him saying, "God, these are the people who I'm praying for. Your neighbor right now is the person that Jesus was asking God to forgive." And we know that he does accomplish that on the cross. And so Jesus, he becomes that thing that the people of old needed to bring to the temple all the time to seek forgiveness. And that's the sacrifice. That's what I want you to take into this week. That Jesus ends up becoming that sacrifice that you never brought to God. He stands in the place of the thing that you needed to bring to God to be made right with him. So Jesus, absolutely, you deserve to be the judge over our lives. Jesus, you deserve to have your way and rearrange our house. And church, I hope you're with me today that you say yes. Yes, Jesus, come and rearrange our house. Thank you, Jim.